Hi, Dancer. Jess here.
Welcome to the new and improved podcast from The Whole Dancer. I am so thrilled that you're here, and I hope to give you some insight and inspiration when it comes to finding a more balanced approach to food, your body, dance, and life. Really covering all those bases of what can help you feel whole as you pursue dance. Now, I would love for you to subscribe to the podcast so that you get an alert every single time there's a new episode, and leave a review so that your friends will be more likely to find The Whole Dancer too. Thanks for being here.
Let's get started. Hi, dancers. Jess here. Welcome back to The Whole Dancer podcast. Today, we're going to talk about surviving holiday eating stress, or just like surviving the holidays from a food perspective. Because I know that food and body stuff can be quite magnified during this time. It's like we're already concerned about it, and then suddenly you have to be in all these food situations, surrounded by friends and family. Sometimes that in and of itself is stressful. If you struggle with stress eating or emotional eating, right, those things are going to be amplified during this time as well. So there's a lot to take on, and it's also amidst a busy performing season for many of you. So whether you have Nutcracker or other shows, or you're looking ahead to the new year where perhaps you're auditioning, or there will be another casting scenario coming up for you in order to prep for the next ballet or performance, there's a lot going on. It's a lot. And you probably have a lot on your plate from a to-do list perspective, right? I have to get gifts for all these people. I have to wrap presents. I want to decorate. I've got Secret Santa stuff to do. I have all these errands to run. Oh yeah, I have to go grocery shopping and try to prepare healthy food for myself in the normal weeks. So I wanted to talk just about some ways to manage the stress and to work through it and to make sure that you are taking care of yourself during the holiday eating experiences. Something that complicates this issue is teacher comments about food or body change. Many of us have had those experiences where a teacher has said something to the effect of, oh, make sure you don't gain weight over the break, or don't eat too much at Thanksgiving, or, you know, watch the sweets, watch the Christmas cookies at the Christmas party, those kinds of comments, which are awful and unhelpful and unnecessary and really honestly quite inappropriate. And when they're making these comments, you know, like Thanksgiving comments, very often dancers come back from Thanksgiving and start performing. You don't want to go to Thanksgiving and tell yourself, I shouldn't be eating any of this food, or I have to undereat, or I should be eating less than what I think I want in order to be ready for this performance. Because you have to remember that a single meal is not going to change your body. Plain and simple. I think we put a ton of weight and focus and stress and emphasis on this one meal or this day of food, and we don't maintain the perspective that that one day of food is not going to do anything, especially if you are in a place where you're working towards, striving towards, or already accomplishing a balanced approach to food on other days or in other times. And, you know, that's something that can be a big, hopefully, incentive for you or motivator to start working on a balanced relationship to food all the time, because it's going to help with the holidays as well. It's always something that I talk about specifically with clients. We don't glaze over that or pretend it's not happening, right? Food stress on holidays is very real, and I hear from dancers about that all the time. But when you're already doing the work, it's going to be much easier to manage, or it's going to be easier to approach it differently. And we'll talk about some ways to approach it differently for sure. With the timing of Nutcracker and these food-centered holidays, like I said, one day of food is not going to change your body. If you go straight to performances the day following Thanksgiving, even that is not a great reason to undereat or underfuel. You need the fuel for the next day, right? Even if you're not being super active on Thanksgiving itself, you need fuel for the next day. And you still need to wake up and eat normally on that day after Thanksgiving. So working towards and striving towards balance on Thanksgiving itself, which means allowing all the things, right? In order to do it, in order to eat well on Thanksgiving and to get back to balance the next day, you've got to allow all the things that you want to eat. Any attempts at restriction are going to backfire, because that's what happens with restriction. So you have to say, I'm going to eat the things I want to eat, and I can eat them anytime I want to eat them. So I don't have to feel like this is my last or only chance. And I'm going to enjoy and be present and connect to the food and connect to the flavors and connect to the tastes and remind myself that there's benefit to enjoying this food. There's benefit. You know, Thanksgiving, we talk about, a lot of people will talk about, oh my goodness, it's so unhealthy for X, Y, or Z reason. There's also a lot of very nutrient-dense foods involved in Thanksgiving. Even the pumpkin in your pumpkin pie, right? That is a great, very nutrient-dense food source. So look for those benefits as well. Most of us have some great vegetables for Thanksgiving, even if they're cooked with butter or salt or sugar, right? You still have tons of nutrition in those vegetables themselves, and that doesn't get negated by cooking them in a way that feels different or indulgent or quote unquote bad. But that is something that you've got to work to undo, right? If you are going into it saying these foods are bad because of these reasons, I want you to start to do the work to undo that and bring your focus to the fact that, well, I'm eating a lot of really nutrient-dense foods. This can, in fact, be a balanced meal. This can be a meal that is nourishing to me, not just from a nutrition perspective, but from a mental well-being perspective. That meal can be very nourishing, right? Comforting, enjoyable, joyful. Think about those things before you go into the holiday meals. What are the things about this meal that can bring me some good, let's just say goodness. What are the things about this meal that can make me feel good? You know, that's it. And for some things, it's just, it tastes good to me. And that brings me joy. I'm going to enjoy the flavor. I'm going to let myself fully enjoy it. There are some really important ways to not approach holiday food, and they're also super common. And so you might have family members who do these things leading up to a holiday meal, and it's not a good example. So if like your mom or your dad or your siblings are doing this, you've got to sort of forge your own path and say, no, I'm not going to have a restrictive approach leading up to the meal itself. That's what a lot of people do. Thanksgiving, for example, it's right around the corner here in the States, right? People will just not eat until the meal, until the Thanksgiving meal. And, you know, sometimes that meal's at noon, sometimes it's at 4 or 5. Everyone does it differently. But either way, not eating until the meal is not setting you up for a balanced approach. What is it setting you up for? It's setting you up for an extreme approach where you feel ravenous and then the hunger can take over and you feel, and then you're not fully present with the food because you're so hungry and you're eating quickly and you're not fully enjoying it or tasting it even. So my advice on that day is always to eat meals leading up to the big meal. So if you wake up in the morning at 9, eat your breakfast, eat a complete meal, protein, carbs, and fat. If the meal, the big meal, it's funny, the big meal, if the big meal is at 4, then you're also going to probably eat lunch. You're definitely going to eat lunch. If you have breakfast at 9, you're going to have lunch at like noon or 1. And then the big meal, the holiday meal, is at 4 p.m. You'll be in a really good place by that point to have a very balanced and level-headed approach to it all. When you are at the meal, you've got to enjoy the foods that you love. I touched on this already, but give yourself permission to enjoy these things without guilt. Because how is the guilt helping you? It's not. There's nothing intrinsically bad about eating these holiday foods that should make you feel guilty. And like I said, it can help to ask yourself, what's the benefit of eating this food? And for some foods, it's just going to be, it tastes good and I like it and it makes me happy and it brings me some joy in the moment. Those are perfectly valid reasons to eat something. And remember, something I think helps with balance is sometimes the mentality is, oh my goodness, these holiday foods, I only get to have them on this one day, so I better eat as much as I can, or I'll eat as much until I feel sick, right? My big thing is always to say, you can have pumpkin pie in July if you want it. You can make holiday foods any time of year. It doesn't have to be restricted to this one time. Even if it's your Aunt Sally's special recipe that only she can make, you can still ask her for the recipe and you can make it yourself anytime that you want, you know? So like maybe instead of telling yourself, this is the only time I can have it, you remind yourself in those moments, oh, I can have this food literally 365 days a year. I can have this food any day. So I'm going to eat an amount that feels good for me. I'm not going to eat past the point of comfort until I have a stomach ache and feel sick. And then the likelihood that you'll feel guilt is much greater, much, much greater. Now, the days following holidays, you have to stay very aware of any thoughts of restricting or over-exercising in order to, this is in quotes, make up for what you ate on the holiday itself. So sometimes we feel this like, oh my gosh, I ate so much. How did I do? Why did I do that? I'm going to wake up tomorrow. I'm going to run 5 miles and then I'm going to eat super clean, or I'm going to avoid all these things. Maybe you plan out a whole meal plan in your mind about what's the best way to make up for this terrible day of eating, right? That doesn't help either. What's going to help is to say to yourself, no, tomorrow is a normal day. I'm going to go back to consistent eating, right? 3 meals, a couple snacks perhaps, right? I'm going to eat throughout the day. I'm not going to let long lapses of time go by where I'm not eating anything. I'm going to make sure I'm giving my body what it needs in these moments so that I just feel good. And, you know, there's not going to really be any need to feel like you're making up for getting back to something if you approach the holiday itself from a balanced perspective. Think about now, what does balance on these days look like for you? What does that mean to you? Because this is a concept I talk about a lot, and I always point out that it's very different for each and every one of us. You know, so myself, for example, I will always wake up and have breakfast. Doesn't matter what else I'm doing, because that sets me up for a much happier, more stable blood sugar day. And I just need it to get started. I feel a significant difference in energy and focus and vibrancy by eating breakfast versus not. And if you really pay attention, you probably will notice similar benefits. But I also like to make sure I have a good protein component, but I eat a full meal, protein, carbs, and fat balanced. And that is how I start the day always, even on a holiday. My family meal is usually at 4, so I eat lunch as well. And that's just my typical lunch. You know, my lunches are usually like leftovers from dinners, or, I'll make like some hummus and crudite and pita and olives and that kind of thing, right? So again, this is very balanced to me, feels very balanced to me. And there's no point at which I'm saying to myself, I need to cut back in order to have room or caloric space for the big meal. And then when the holiday meal comes around, well, I don't eat meat and I don't really eat dairy. So I am somewhat limited in my choices, but that doesn't mean I go and I say, oh, sorry guys, there's only 2 things I can eat here. And then I leave hungry and what, and you know, just are not, I'm not feeling good or satisfied or what have you. Instead of doing that, I bring dishes with me. And this year, I think we're gonna bring a kale salad and we're gonna bring this really amazing quinoa dish that my grandmother found a few years ago. And she used to make it for us when we would have Thanksgiving at her house. But now we're going elsewhere, so I'm gonna make it for everyone. And you know what? If people wanna eat quinoa on Thanksgiving, they can. If they have no desire, then they don't have to. It's just going to be really for me and my family and making sure that we have food that's gonna help the meal be balanced for us, considering that we don't eat turkey and we won't eat like the mashed potatoes because they have dairy in them. When it comes to dessert, I will tell you as well, I am going to eat any desserts that appeal to me on Thanksgiving, regardless of ingredients, because I don't have a dairy intolerance. It is just a preference to not eat it. And therefore, on Thanksgiving, if it looks nice, I'm having it. And it doesn't really matter what's in it. I don't overthink it. If there's a vegan pumpkin pie, I like that, but I don't need to have one. If they have any left at the store, maybe I'll buy one for my Thanksgiving party. But other than that, oh, and have to bring my own coconut whipped cream that they sell at Trader Joe's, right? The coconut milk-based whipped cream, because, oh my God, that stuff is so good. But other than that, I let my usual preferences go. This is a matter of being flexible with food. And, you know, I have moral reasons why I make my food choices, but I'm willing to be flexible on a few days a year, right? I don't think that that's making a huge environmental impact that I have to feel shame for or feel badly about. So think about that. Like, what are your food preferences? What are the foods that work for you? Is it going to be helpful for you to have a balanced meal by bringing some stuff? Should you bring some of your own dishes in order to make the meal more balanced for you personally? And, you know, this is a very generous thing to say when you're going to someone's place for Thanksgiving. You just say, oh, hey, we're going to bring these couple of things. You can even point out it's going to help me have a more balanced experience, or whatever makes you feel good about it. You don't have to really justify. It's not being critical of the host. It's just making sure that you have what you need to feel your best. And now it is worth pointing out that this is a family-centered, these are family-centered as well in many cases with the holidays. And with that sometimes comes food or body comments, unsolicited advice, thoughts on how much or how little you're taking of something, you know, thoughts about if someone perceives a change in your body. These are all like really inappropriate things for anyone to say to any of you, but it happens. People, you know, sometimes it's an age thing. Sometimes it's just a lack of awareness and people don't realize, oh my gosh, this is really rude or inappropriate for me to bring up, especially at a party or a holiday event, right? Like, it's different if someone has some concern about you, but even if that's the case, I don't really think the holiday day is the time to bring it up. Whatever the reason, if somebody says something to you about a food choice or your body shape or size, you should feel empowered to respond in a way that makes you feel good, even if it doesn't feel like it's the most polite thing to do. I don't really think that that matters. And I'm going to give you permission to respond to this person in whatever way feels good and authentic to you, to help you find an empowered place to approach it from, and to allow you to know that you're doing what's best for you. So some things you might say: I am not interested in your feedback on my food choices. I'm learning to love my body just as it is. Your comments aren't helpful. I'm listening to my body and eating the amount that feels good for me. Please don't comment on my food choices, or that one could go for the body as well. Please don't comment on my body shape or size. Your comments aren't helpful. You know, and sometimes people are saying things about food or diet or bodies, and they're talking about themselves. And I would say if that's triggering to you, then it should also be brought up. Like, hey, it really makes me feel uncomfortable when you talk about yourself like that. Or, you know, I'd love to hear you speak more kindly to yourself. Or like if it's a food thing, like, you know, you can eat these foods and still feel good in your body. Think about the way that you might connect somebody and help them in the moment. It's, you know, it's tricky because these are loaded topics, but you don't have to just let it slide. You can respond and you can say something that may be helpful to them or will be protective of yourself. And that's really important. Finally, if you've been struggling on the food front and the holidays are magnifying those challenges and you've been struggling for a while and you're over it, I fully get that feeling because I've been there. But I would love for you to reach out and schedule a complimentary coaching consultation where you and I will connect. And I promise it's a very supportive and zero judgment zone where you'll share a bit with me about your personal journey and story. And I always say, I guarantee I've been through most of it or worse, probably. And I fully get it. I know the pain. I know the struggle. I know the impact it can have on your dancing and your career trajectory. So I'd love to connect with you and discuss if coaching is the right fit for you. And when you sign up for your consultation, I'll share all the details of the coaching package and the pricing and all of that, so you'll know at that point if it's something you can fit in your budget. And I do make it a point to provide dancers with various options in terms of payment so that it can be accessible to the majority of you. And I also do some like scholarship stuff and, you know, price reduction at times. So I want to be able to meet you where you are and support you through this process. And, you know, it's amazing to me and I'm very grateful for all of this that dancers often share with me very early into their coaching programs what a massive shift they have already experienced in how they're feeling about their bodies or food. It's a process, it takes time, but usually even in those first 3 or 4 weeks, there are big things shifting. And that is powerful. So I would love to connect with you if you think coaching is right. And I'm gonna say now something I totally forgot to say earlier, but try to tap into gratitude when it comes to holidays. Try to tap into what you're grateful for, why you're glad to be able to get together with family. If you're not glad about getting together with family, maybe you tap into gratitude for your own space or living away from them. But tap into gratitude either way, because that also can help you get through the holidays in a much more positive way. All right, dancers, I'll catch you next time.